just a small town girl living in a lonely world. She took the midnight train going anywhere. Just a city boy born and raised in South Detroit. He took the midnight train going anywhere. A singer in a smoky room, a smell of wine and cheap perfume. For a smile they can share the night. It goes on and on and on and on.
Strangers waiting
up and down the boulevard. Their
shadows searching in the night. Streetlights, people
Well, welcome to the Situation Report for March 25th, 2024. It's Lieutenant Colonel Murray. And the CIA conducted an attack on Russia over the weekend and used ISIS as a proxy. Boy, I'll tell you, when the B team's in charge, bad things happen. It's amazing to me how transparent they are. And when I first heard about the attack, I was posted in one of my channels that this will lead back to MI6 and CIA. And sure enough, not even 24 hours in, at first I'm still on the fence around the complicity of the, not just CIA, but MI6. First of all, ISIS has no reason to attack Russia. No reason whatsoever. It's It's beyond my imagination why they would use a proxy out of the Middle East that has absolutely no grudge against the Russian people to commit a terror attack in Russia using a terrorist cell. There's no political reason for it. There's not even a reason to justify why ISIS would be in the country. And ISIS is a creation of the CIA anyway. Unbelievable. Yeah, but I expect no less from the third Obama administration. That said, let me back up a little bit. So that was Journey, Don't Stop Believing. I figured that'd be a nice change of pace from AC/DC, although I could go down the catalog of AC/DC for the next few weeks, and it would not get old, just saying. The question about the shirts, who asked me that? James. So we're setting up a site so they drop ship. Versus us having to do an order and then ship. So it'll be probably another week before we get it all set up. I was messing around with it today, trying to get some gun orders done and get some parts out the door. So by the way, shout out to Stuart. Thanks for waiting, man. I appreciate it. Been a busy couple of weeks. Couple other things. If you want to get a hold of me, the best way to get a hold of me is to get into the Telegram channel and have one of my admins get a hold of me. I have way too many people that have my email and phone number, and I get spammed every day. Well, you name it, whether it's Rumble shows, whether it's BitChute, whether it's Brighteon, I get links every day from just about everybody that has my email. And while I appreciate the content, there's no way I can possibly get through all that content, even if I wanted to on my best day. That said, I try my best to get through as much of the content that's sent to me, and usually try and do it over the weekend. If there's stuff that comes up during the week, I'll dig into it. But with the sheer volume of information that's thrown at me, it's hard to keep up with all of it. So I'm doing the best I can. And I know that there's a lot of folks that are asking me, is this real? Is this not real? I just assume everything's BS and then work my way towards the truth. And that was the same with this Russian attack. When it first happened, I'm like, doesn't make any sense why a terrorist organization from the Middle East would be in Russia when Russia hasn't been doing anything in the Middle East of consequence, you know, for the last year. And yeah, they were operating in Syria, but that situation has died down. And it's a question of why now? And like I said, in one of my channels, I said this will lead back to CIA, and this is controlled narrative. And my problem with the whole narrative when it started was that they were releasing footage of the attackers. They were releasing footage of people getting mowed down. And then Posobiec released, I think it was body cam footage is how it was labeled. And the first question went through my mind was, how are they going to get body cam footage? And especially body cam footage from people that were just apprehended while they're trying to do an investigation. And why would the Russians allow anybody to publish the videos that have come out of people getting their throats slashed, et cetera, unless it was a controlled release? So there's that piece of this whole story that I have a hard time with. Then there's the piece of the story where there's videos coming out, which are could be deep fakes of people in body bags smoking from back when COVID happened. We've seen the recycle of old videos branded as something new since 2015. So I wouldn't be surprised if that circles its way around. But here's the bottom line with the attacks. There is absolutely no reason why you go after civilians for any political or geopolitical reason. They're not combatants. And the fact that these guys were put up to it by our government, and if it bears out to be true that the CIA and MI6 were behind this, whoever perpetrated this needs to go to prison. There's no excuse for attacking innocent people whatsoever for any reason. You have enough opportunity in the combat zone to exact revenge. There's no reason for this to happen. And taking the fight to Moscow only widens the war. And I got to hand it to Putin. Putin showed a measured response. He showed not just restraint, but he's shown a tremendous amount of restraint. And this narrative that the Russians are going to go all the way to Poland, they're going to go all the way to the UK, it's a bunch of BS. The EU government is doing their level best to kill as many of their own citizens as they possibly can while they're distracted with the situation in Ukraine. And the money laundering in and of itself should be a wake-up call that they have no intention of trying to win in the Ukraine. Maximum amount of damage, maximum amount of death, maximum amount of money laundered. That's the only thing that's coming out of that place. And then the fact that this led back to the CIA so quickly tells me that this was a big fuck you from Obama. And you know, if I had to give Putin any advice, it'd be very, very simple. Go after the motherfucker and deal with him directly. The American people don't condone any of this. And it goes along the lines of what's going on in Israel. The fact that this genocide is occurring, and it is a genocide, is occurring and the world is doing nothing about it, is beyond reprehensible. And then you have Mike Pence signing bombs and artillery shells that are going to be fired into Gaza. And then he's talking about how we need to support Israel. These people are blatant about the fact that they hate you. They hate this country, and they hate the average citizen in general, without exception. It's amazing that more people aren't up in arms about what's happening there and our support there. It's unbelievable. And I think the most unbelievable part of all of it is that it's in your face. I am constantly shaking my head at it's utter disgust is what it is. Not just in the American people and the liberal circles, but there is literally nobody in Congress that's coming out saying anything against any of this. To me, it's reprehensible. This blind faith and support for Israel, this blind, you know, blank check that we keep writing them. At some point, we need to pull the reins in and say, you're on your own. And it's the fact that now there's, and I don't know the validity of this, but I've had a bunch of people send me information about real estate and real estate auctions going on across the planet for property in Gaza. Now, I don't know the validity of that, and I'm not going to speculate on whether that's true or not. But remember, the enemy has information operations they're doing, and so does the U.S. government. And true or not, you need to bear out and wait 48 to 72 hours to figure out if that's really true or not. Because there's a lot of deep fakes that are being pushed around. Just like at the very start, there was all kinds of actors acting and creating different kinds of horrific scenes strictly for propaganda, and they all turned out to be false. They all turned out to be staged. This could be one of those. So until it bears out to be true, there's no sense speculating on it. And would I put it past them? Absolutely not. I would absolutely think that this is in their wheelhouse of despicable actions that they would take for the sake of profit. Just like they're trying to commit the maximum amount of damage and the maximum amount of casualties in Ukraine so they can rebuild it. That is true that BlackRock and Vanguard and a few others are working on contracts to rebuild the Ukraine. And if you think back to the Clinton Foundation and Haiti after the last bout of storms, they haven't built one building in Haiti since the last major hurricane down there. And that's been, what, 5-6 years? What do you think is going to happen in Ukraine? They're going to launder a bunch of money through that place, and they're not going to build anything. They might build some luxury homes for some of the people that are laundering money, but I doubt they're going to do anything for the average Ukrainian. And I don't put any faith in the fact that anybody's going to be brought to justice anytime soon over it. So, yeah, I heard AOC, Chris. I don't give two shits what that airhead has to say. She might be calling it out, but has she proposed anything or brought any bills to the floor to stop it? Her or Rashida Tlaib or Ilhan Omar? None of them have done anything. They talk a good game, but they don't really do anything. There's tons of footage of the Israelis dropping bombs on people just walking. I mean, could be real, could be deepfakes. Could have been footage of us using drones under Obama's tenure because he was the drone king. It's hard to say for sure what's real, what's not real. But I will say that Israel has lost that information war. The tide of the American and the rest of the world public opinion has turned against Israel. And I'm rapidly approaching the point where I could care less what happens to that country now. The level of criminality that is coming out of that place that affects the U.S. and the amount of U.S. politicians that are dual citizens and people in key cabinet positions that are dual citizens is reprehensible. And the worst part about all of it is that the Secret Service is supposed to protect those offices, not just the person. They're supposed to protect the office. And that's the part about the presidency that really gets under my skin. The Secret Service is supposed to protect the office of the president, the reputation, the person, and they're supposed to monitor to make sure that that person is either fit for duty, not fit for duty, et cetera, et cetera. They're not just bodyguards. They're a law enforcement agency. And the fact that all of this criminality has been allowed to happen, just the mere question of classified material being stored improperly would get most people, they'd be in Leavenworth if they were in the military. I know that because we used to, way back in the early 90s, we used to burn crypto. And if it was a windy day and you're outside burning crypto, guess what happens? It just goes up in the air and it's gone. Do you know how many people I know had their rights read to them because crypto floated away while they're trying to burn it? Many. And here we have a sitting president that not only mishandled classified information, left classified information out of a classified area in his garage so that Chinese operatives could pick it up, and no one in the Secret Service said a word about it. Not one person. That's treason. And you could water down the definition of treason all you want, which is what lawyers do, but it's still treason of the highest order. And the fact that this guy is still sitting in office and you have another traitor with a former CIA director that's also a traitor that's conducting operations in a foreign country with operatives that were supposedly our enemies. Why hasn't somebody rolled these guys up? I'll tell you why. It's because the Secret Service is compromised. And if you're in the Secret Service and you're listening to this, I fucking challenge you to call me and set the record straight. But none of you have the balls to go live and tell people what's really going on. The only people that have come forward are the whistleblowers from the FBI. And what happened to them? I'm just preempting all the bullshit that's going to come my way from saying it. But it's true. Somebody in the system should have said enough's enough and put an end to this. And the fact that nobody has means everybody's compromised. And we're past the culmination point where you can say, I'm just doing my job. I'm done listening to that. I've had at least three different senior level people just in the last 48 hours tell me that they're just doing their jobs or trying to get their retirement. The last guy that said it to me, my answer back to him was, fuck you. You're a traitor just like the rest of them because you don't have the balls to stand up and to honor your oath. You're leaving it to guys like me that are out of the system. grow a dick, get your man card back, pull up your big boy pants, and get in the fucking fight. Because you're in a position to do something about it right now. And all it's going to take is for you to talk to the right people and get enough people around you, and you can take action. But instead, you sit there, you watch our country burn to the ground, and the only thing you're interested in is your fucking retirement. Grow up. Unbelievable. That's the state of our country right now. Every institution in Washington, D.C. is compromised. Every single one. Especially the FBI and DOJ. So the 2A red flag, I don't know if it's an executive order or it's a new initiative, but DOJ does not have the power to legislate. The DOJ does not have unilateral authority for every state. The states will and should win out when it comes to state rights. There should be absolutely no reason for DOJ, the FBI, or the ATF to enforce red flag laws. They don't have the authority. They don't have the legislative ability, and Congress cannot delegate that authority to them without a law in the books. Now, almost every state has passed some form of red flag law. And if you're not unfamiliar with what red flag laws are basically, it's a get out of jail free card for law enforcement to confiscate guns from somebody that they think is a known threat, whether it's domestic violence charges, and usually it's tied to some kind of domestic violence or mental health evaluation. But DOJ unilaterally saying that they can go after and disarm people, completely unconstitutional. And this should be a line in the sand for a lot of people. And this is, if you're not organizing your neighborhood right now to push back on that, I guarantee you, SWAT teams will show up, people will lose all. And here's how this goes, just so you know. When the FBI comes in and confiscates your guns, or the ATF, they don't give them back. You're never seeing them again. They will bury you in bureaucratic red tape, even if they're justified. You will never, ever see those firearms again. So this is exactly why I have said for the last 2 years, what is your line in the sand? What is the one thing that they take away from you that's going to drive you to pick up arms? And most people don't have an answer for that. But I guarantee you right now, they're rolling somebody up right now. And it's probably somebody that has posted something on social media, somebody who has openly gone after, you know, either Big Pharma or a politician, which I do all the time on Twitter. I go after Bill Gates. I go after Elon Musk. By the way, Elon Musk, completely full of shit. And I go after other politicians on Twitter, especially Mike Pence. And that's who they're targeting. They're targeting conservative Americans that are going after the system. And which is part of the topic for tonight, is the system for censoring is bigger than you think it is. It's not just algorithms. It's not just AI. It's not scripts that are running for YouTube or for Google or big tech. They have entire NGOs that are dedicated to doing nothing but looking at content and labeling content as disinformation, and then leveraging the system that they've put in place to remove or censor that content. And they are highly effective at it. You have entire companies with AI that they literally spent 24/7 scraping all social media sites looking for specific keywords, specific phrases, and specific influencers so that they can not only block, but they've monetized blocking and censoring people. They have entire companies dedicated to doing this work. When they announced the Disinformation Bureau, or the Ministry of Truth, for lack of a better word, they literally left the part out that they had already built the apparatus, and they were just formalizing the censorship system and branding it and put it under a government entity. They had already built this long before Trump ever came to office. This stuff was being built in China by Google and being rolled out here all at the same time. And when we talked about data centers last week in the roundtable, we were talking about that for a very specific purpose, because there's no reason to have this volume of data center. Look, the volume of information does grow exponentially, not incrementally. But you can't tell me, with all the people that are unemployed and the number of people on the move right now, that there's more demand for information and storage than there was prior to the mass migration. There's simply not enough people to generate that kind of demand. So it only stands to reason that most of this capacity is being built so that they can drive the social scoring engine. And look at what they're doing in Europe right now. They are literally consolidating power under the EU and driving all of these nonsensical environmental laws. And they're doing the same thing here. The states, they've driven it down to the state now, to where the states are doing a lot of the work instead of the federal government. The fact that the federal government's involved in the 2A conversation is a massive overreach, and they know it. But they also realize that it's going to take a year to 2 years to litigate it. What did it take for the pistol brake? So the pistol braces took a year to litigate. They already know that it's going to be overturned, and they're going to be told to stand down. The point is that they announced it just before the election to go roll people up. It's all about fear and intimidation. It's all about intimidating you to not buy firearms. And the language is ambiguous for a very specific reason. It's ambiguous because they want you to be scared to go purchase firearms. And now that California's ammunition, and I think their ammunition laws have stood up, and they've survived appeal, which is stupid, because in California, you have to show ID to buy ammunition, and then you have to go to a firearms dealer to pick up your ammunition, and you have to fill out a form for it. That's ridiculous. And it's completely unconstitutional, because the Second Amendment states clearly, shall not infringe, meaning they shall not infringe on your ability to own, operate, or possess a firearm. And that includes access to ammunition and spare parts. The fact that they're going after this, they already know that it's unconstitutional. It's an election year. They're trying to put the maximum amount of pressure and fear on people. And I'm telling you, if this isn't a line in the sand for people, I don't know what the fuck is. Because every day I'm watching them doing more and more malfeasance, and I'm surprised people are calm about it. At least people should, at the very least, be angry about it. But again, I'm not seeing it. And we're going to have to see some serious anger for people to get activated enough to do something about it. And that's part of the problem. Which brings me to, I don't know if most people realize, but last night was a lunar eclipse and start of a new cycle here for another retrograde, et cetera, et cetera. And there has been, of course, you know, they take the satanic side of the house, you know, claims the date, and they want to make it a satanic ritual, humma humma. But the reality is as we come up on the solar eclipse, you're starting to see not only the feds, but you're seeing states activate more and more. And Troop and I talked about it yesterday at breakfast, and he wanted to post something about, you know, the solar eclipse affecting electricity and bringing the grid down. I don't know if it's going to last that long or long enough for it to disrupt the grid. However, it says a lot that states and the federal government are mobilizing people for that day. So rather than say, don't worry about it, blow it off, I would say you should be ready for anything between the 8th and the 15th. Because the fact that they're mobilizing people is yet another example that they're expecting something to happen. Whether it does or not is not the point. What it is isn't the point. What is the point is the fact that you should be prepared for that and ready on a moment's notice, regardless of what happens. And if it was me, and I was watching all of this information being mobilized and pushed around about that date, I would delay a day or two so people let down their laurels. And who's to say that something would happen anyway? But let's say nothing happens. At least you're prepared for it. Either way, everyone knows there's a black swan coming. And everybody's been talking about it. I've talked about it now for over a year. The point of the exercise is not to try and war game what that black swan is. The point of the exercise is to be as prepared as you can be and ready to pivot if you need to. That's the point of the exercise. And I had a bunch of people over the weekend throwing stuff at me. Well, this could be the black swan. Yeah, it could be. There's probability and possibility. There's anything's probable. Is it possible? Depends on the situation. I don't see them burning the house that they're living in unless they know they're going to lose, and then they'll burn the house down just to spite the American people. I don't think we're there yet. I think they still feel like they're in control. I think they still feel like they can get the narrative back. And I believe that they think that they can control a black swan event. That's how arrogant they are. And I think that they will lose control and there will be a significant amount of chaos. Things will level out, and then there'll be other events that come along that are, you know, sequential to that. And eventually they'll lose control completely. And when they do, it'll be people like you and me that stand up and get our city, state, and the rest of the country organized while we're dealing with all these illegals. So I'm not spending any time thinking about what the black flag is. If you want to go look at the wargaming, Terrence Pop on Redonkulous is actually, I think, his broadcast today. He was talking about what those possible scenarios could be. And it's probably worth the watch. I haven't watched it yet. So, but I'm not, like I said, I'm not worried about the event of what it is. I'm just worrying about, am I prepared enough to be ready to pivot when it does? So, food for thought. The other piece is when you start talking about the flow of information, what they're trying to do, they want to slowly move everybody into a digital currency, into a social scoring system. So you're already seeing the supermarkets, the gates at the supermarkets. You're seeing the cameras on all the registers now. You're seeing the facial recognition at the airport. May or may not be turned on at any one time. But I guarantee you that almost all of the grocery stores now, almost all of the gas stations have more than just security cameras. They have facial recognition that's literally on the register. If you go to Sprouts or you go to Whole Foods, there are facial recognition on the register. They're recording you as you're checking out. And this is the beauty of the way they've set it up. None of the staff knows how the system works. So they couldn't talk to it even if they wanted to. And I said to one of the gals a few weeks ago when I went in there, realized there was a camera on, I said, I didn't authorize you guys to do facial recognition on me. You're not an intelligence agency. And under U.S. Title 10, you're not entitled as a private company to collect any information on me. Literally all the way up to the store manager, and they were clueless. That should tell you that they've left their employees in the dark for a very specific purpose. And if you ask me, it's brilliant. It's a brilliant way to roll it out and have plausible deniability. Oh, it's anti-theft. No, it's not. It's facial recognitions. And that's by itself is intelligence collection on American citizens, bar none. And the fact that the feds get away with it is one thing, but private entities, and if you think about Facebook and you think about TikTok and you think about Google and you think about YouTube and some of the others, every time you log in, they're collecting all of your browsing history, everything you do, every search you've done. And even if you're doing, you know, innocuous searches or doesn't matter what it is, they're tracking what you're doing. And you could be on a Tor browser. You could be behind a firewall or behind a VPN. They could still track it. They still know where the IP is from. And there's no more anonymizing that. All of that rolls into the facial recognition. It's all the same system. And the fact that they've rolled it all the way down to the stores means that they're getting closer and closer and closer to that moment where they can say, here's your digital currency. You can't operate without that. We no longer accept cash. And if you go back to 2020, 2020 is when they first started going with no cash. Cash is dirty. Remember that? Try getting cash at a Costco now. You used to be able to go into Costco and get as much cash as you wanted. But now they don't do cash at all. They want you to use a card. Most of the grocery stores are the same. Gas stations, it's all set up for a digital system. And we've walked right into it. In fact, if you traveled internationally, I guarantee you that your facial recognition is already on file. Because every country outside of the U.S., especially in Europe, you don't show your passport to anyone. You swipe your passport or you put your passport down on a scanner. It scans as it's taking your face. And it follows you everywhere you go, all throughout Europe. That system is completely deployed in Europe. So they're very close and they're very near the cusp of being able to turn on the digital currency. Where the rubber's going to meet the road is if they can get control of Bitcoin. And if you're watching what's going on with Bitcoin and gold, you're seeing that they're trying very, very hard to restrict the growth and the amount that Bitcoin grows every single day. And they're also manipulating gold to keep it under 2,100. But it's getting harder and harder for them to do because as one goes up in value, the other goes up in value. And gold doesn't go down in value. Artificially, it does, but it doesn't go down in value. And they're trying desperately to control Bitcoin. And Bitcoin's not really, it's not a currency they can use for a global digital currency anyway. Because there's not the infrastructure for it. And two, there's a finite amount of Bitcoin. So I don't think we're quite there to the digital currency, but they're working aggressively to roll out the digital currency. And what's going to happen outside of that, which is why they're going after private gardens, they're going after the food supply, they're going after foods producers, is they're trying to limit the ability for private citizens to create their own ecosystems for food and for trade. That's the whole point of them passing all the legislation and putting out all the regulations around gardens and all the propaganda around, you know, having a private garden contributes, you know, 600 pounds a year to the carbon footprint. It's all nonsense. But look at how many people buy into that narrative. The whole point of all these narratives is to restrict you and to keep you in fear of doing your own thing outside of the system they want you to adopt. And even if they roll out a digital currency, it doesn't mean they've won. It just means they've rolled out a digital currency. And I, to be honest with you, I don't think we're going to get that far anyway. We might get to a couple of days of it, but I don't think it's going to be sustainable because you have the criminal side of the house and the chaos is growing in blue cities right now that is beyond their control. And as it rolls up to the cultural narrative and the social narrative, which it already has, you will see more and more people get unhinged. And it only takes one person to go off the reservation, and then they lose control. And why I'm talking about all this is for the very simple reason that you're seeing more and more people that are staunch on the left being victimized by the very laws that they embraced. And now they're starting to move to the center. And I don't think it's going to be a conservative that goes off the reservation. I think it's going to be a liberal. And I think it's going to be somebody that's literally so entrenched in the system that they think they're fighting to preserve it when really what they're doing is driving more chaos. And look, they want chaos in the big cities. They want a reason to declare martial law. But what it all boils down to is when it gets to the point where they can't control it with the boots on the ground and people take matters into their own hands, that's going to be the moment where people stop caring about getting in trouble and they start caring about doing whatever it takes to defend their family and their neighborhood. And we're rapidly approaching that culmination point right now. And we're seeing that in not only the fact that those attacks that happened in Russia were so poorly managed and so poorly messaged that literally within 24 hours, everybody knew who was behind it. And then for Putin to come out and call out very specifically that this is the same cabal of people that we've been fighting since 2014, e.g. Obama, Brennan, Clapper, Hayden, and the rest of the malcontents, is a very clear indication he knows exactly who was behind this. Exactly. And one thing you need to understand about Russian intelligence, the Israelis are very good at human intelligence. They're very good at cyber. But the Russians are fucking experts at cyber exploitation. They're fucking experts. They're quiet. They're patient. They will take out reams of information before you even know they're there. And the only time the Russians ever let you know that they were there is when they turn the volume up on the way out after they've taken everything that they need or want. That's the only time we ever knew they were in our networks is when they turn the volume up on the way out. So I guarantee you that not only did Putin probably have advance notice, he probably knew exactly who ordered it before it even took place. And I would rather imagine that they have our secure comms and they have our secure satellite comms. I would bet money on it. Because for him to be very specific in a speech is very, very, it's a very pointed, it's a very direct message to the people behind it that we know who you are, we know who's behind this, and we have all the goods, meaning we got the receipts. That's what I heard the guy say in his speech. And like I said, if I was to give him any advice, deal with the guy directly. You've got the resources to do it. You've got the power to do it. Deal with him directly because he doesn't represent the rest of us. I don't care what he purports to be. Obama's a traitor and he deserves to be in prison or he deserves at least a speedy trial and then the rest of his life in prison. I don't want to see him hang. I want to see him in prison the rest of his life along with Brennan and the Clintons because the one thing that people with that much power can't handle having none. Drives them insane. I want to watch them all go insane. That would be, to me, way more gratifying than an execution. And you can make the case for both. But the truth of the matter is, I'd rather watch them rot in prison. Like watching Saddam Hussein sit in his underwear. Priceless. Walking into a building down at Al-Falah Palace, and there he is. In his underwear, in a cell, hair's all disheveled. I'm like, wow, all this ass pain, and there you are in a diaper. That, to me, would be the best justice in the world. But that's just me. The point is, all of this is coming to a head, and the fact that they're getting sloppy about covering the tracks means that there's a lot of different lines of operation that are coming to a head, too, because of that, and somebody will go off the reservation. And that's why I say that there's an event coming. It could be a planned event. It could be an unplanned event. But I guarantee you something is definitely coming. And they have to do something before the election because they need to make sure there's not an election. Because everyone sees the cheating apparatus they put in place. And there's multiple videos now that are talking about they're flying in illegals into different states, registering them as voters, and then moving them out of the state. We already see it. We know what's coming. And this time, if they cheat, civil war. If they assassinate Trump, civil war. If they go after law-abiding citizens and start taking away guns, civil war. It's coming. And it's going to be somebody on the left that goes off the reservation. At least that's what I think. I could be wrong. I've been wrong about a lot of shit, which is fine because I'd rather be wrong than right. And usually when I'm wrong, it means nothing happens, which is fantastic. So I don't mind being wrong at all. So the point is that we have time right now to get ready, and we should be doing that. And we should be, and somebody asked me about sphere of influence over the weekend. So evidently there's confusion about what sphere of influence really means. It's very simple. Keep it simple. Your sphere of influence is the number of people around you that you know you can count on and trust. People that have the same value system, or at least close enough of a value system that you can agree to disagree when it comes to that. But these are people you trust and people that they trust that have been vetted, that you know are on the right side of history. And your line of sight is literally the more people you know, the more people that you're aligned with in your sphere of influence, whether that's your city, your neighborhood, or your place of work, whatever that is for your initial start, when you start meeting new people and adding people to your sphere of influence. That increases, the more people you have in your network, the more visibility you have on a lot of different aspects. Somebody asked me about where do I get my news. I get my news from Revolver.net, from Citizen Free Press, some from Zero Hedge, a lot from Substacks, because there's a lot of really good journalism happening in Substack. I get information from people inside the system, not as much as I did when we started this, but I still get information from people in the system. And I get information from people that are working with the system, not necessarily in the system. And you can learn a lot, especially from what they don't say versus what they say. And right now with DOJ, the FBI, and intelligence agencies monitoring everybody in the federal government and trying to push everybody that's conservative out of the federal government, a lot of people have gone dark. But you have a lot of organizations, especially Revolver.News. Those guys are doing yeoman's work, fact-finding, and so is James O'Keefe, doing great work uncovering people in the system that are just downright open communists. That's what we need, is disclosure of all these different aspects. And I'm sure somebody will come out, just like Seymour Hersh did about the gas pipeline explosion. Somebody will come out about this attack, because somewhere in the chain, as they were recruiting these operatives, they probably tipped their hat with somebody or tipped their hand to somebody that was outside the system and probably has some of the goods on them. Or the Russians will do it. Either way, the truth will come out at some point about who was behind it, who did the recruiting. And it's very, very important to get three or four or five sources that align with the story and the narrative before I decide it's true. I never take anything off one story because there's so much disinformation and there's so much information that people are just pulling out of their ass and posting online. But you can see and feel the hate and discontent building up more and more and more. And it's not just here in the US. It's all across the planet now. And you're seeing people pushing back against the whole green energy stuff. They're pushing back against the official narratives. They're pushing back against politicians. In fact, the number of death threats against politicians is so overwhelming, they can't keep up with all of them. And the same goes for Soros, Bill Gates, etc. And Bill Gates has an army of people that do nothing other than scrub his social media because there's that many posts on his social media that are negative. He literally has an army of people scrubbing his social media. And if you look at any of the comments, when he posts something or something's posted about him, you can see that the cultural narrative is shifting. So we're right at the cusp of that critical moment, and we're on the event horizon. It's just a matter of time. And whatever it is, I don't care. I'm focused on being as prepared as I can be. And you should be too. But we should never condone attacks on civilians under any circumstances. That to me is the red line. That's where people get relieved. That's where officers go to prison. That's where enlisted go to prison. If you attack innocent civilians, and look, I can make the case both ways, right? You drive through a neighborhood, you're on patrol, a couple of your guys get smoked, nobody sees anything, nobody knows anything. Two or three times you're in a neighborhood, somebody gets hurt or smoked, guess what? You have no problem wiping out the whole neighborhood. I understand it. I'm not saying I condone it, but I understand it. And even in those cases, it'd be very, very hard to pull the trigger, no matter what. Because you don't know if they're being coerced. Like in Vietnam, the VC would come in, they'd kill the village elders, take off the military age, you know, take the military age males out and leave the women and children as a warning. You don't know if they're being coerced. And in the case of Iraq and Afghanistan, you have no idea who's on the other side of those threats. So you can't make the assumption that they're all complicit. This doesn't work that way. And that's why, you know, allowing attacks on civilians, it's unconscionable. And we're watching it real time in both Gaza and now in Moscow. I just think that's unconscionable. Well, what can I say? I guess I'm a bit of an idealist. But when I heard about it, I was incensed, absolutely incensed. And you should be too. This is our government operating supposedly on our behalf. That's why this is the burr in my ass on this one. Because nobody put these people in charge, especially Victoria Nuland. And this has her hands, this has her little signature all over it. She was running around touting that there would be surprises for Putin in Moscow this summer. Here we are. So she's been planning this for a while. And this is them burning the bridge they're standing on, literally. So as this ramps up, and I don't think this is going to be the only attack, which is why I'm talking about it. I think there's going to be more attacks. They're going to be bigger attacks. And most importantly, there's going to be more attacks on civilians. And as those ramp up, I don't know how much longer Putin's going to be able to keep a lid on or keep a lid on the hardcore members in the Russian leadership. Because you know that they're all demanding that something big be done to send a message back to the West. So stay tuned to stay tuned. I think it's weeks away, if not days away. But as for the April 8th solar eclipse, just be ready. They're telegraphing that something's coming on, whether that's, you know, October 7th attacks or whether that's mass outages or cyber attack, doesn't matter. What matters is that you've done everything you can do to be prepared. That's the only thing you really can do. You can't control it anyway. So why worry about it? Just be ready to go. So a couple admin notes before I wrap this up. On Wednesday, we're going to do the normal roundtable. We should have full house on Wednesday. On Thursday, we're going to do another roundtable with Tom Luongo. There'll be four or five of us on that roundtable. It'll be at 6 o'clock Eastern Time, 3 o'clock Pacific. On Wednesday, we will be normal time, 4 o'clock Pacific and 7 o'clock Eastern. So, and by the way, this moves around on Mondays because I'm trying to accommodate a number of different schedules. And today was one of those days where I needed to go early to take care of stuff after the show. So the joys of running a business. So if you're wondering why it bounces around on Mondays, that's why. But we'll be back Wednesday, 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern for the normal roundtable, and then another roundtable on Thursday. So it should be a pretty interesting week. And by the way, you know, for those of you who don't know who Tom Luongo is, he's got a podcast that he does that's on Spotify. He's got so many different good people. His podcast is Gold Goats and Guns podcast. You should listen to it. Some of the guests he has, like I love Vince Lance. Vince Lance is a gold guy. He's had Brent Johnson, Richard Poe. And the Richard Poe episode 171, I highly recommend everybody listen to that because Richard Poe talks about how all roads lead to London and the city of London. You should really listen to it. It's very, very interesting, his perspective on things. And they talk about mercantilism and the way the U.S. colonies were set up. So it is very interesting. And I'm almost done with the book list, the reading list. I'm going to publish that to Telegram, to Twitter, and I'll put it in the comments section when I get it done for the next roundtable. So it'll be there. And then somebody asked me about my Substack. I'll post the link to the Substack in the comments section for this video after the show. And then the gear list, we have a gear list put together. I'm going to vet it again tomorrow before I post it on Wednesday. So you'll see them both Wednesday. As for the t-shirts, give us another week or two before we get the t-shirt site set up. And again, everything we make above and beyond the cost of the shirts is going to go to the Trooper Care Network. So I'm not selling these to, I'm not selling these for profit. I'm selling these to support troops cause over there and take the pressure off folks that have been donating. By the way, I appreciate everyone that has supported Troops nonprofit. He's doing the Lord's work. If you're looking for radios, if you're looking for tactical gear, go out to brushbeater.com. He's got a lot of equipment out there in his store. Suggest you go out there. He actually sent me his books and his Biofame radio. So I'm going to be messing around with that. So there's lots of good resources out there. If you want to get a hold of me, the best way to get a hold of me is my Telegram channel, same name, Lieutenant Colonel LTC Stephen Murray. You can find me in Telegram. And my admins are good about pushing information to me and contacts. So, and if you're in the channel on Telegram, I will tell you right now that I don't PM anybody unless I tell you in the channel first. I will say to you, I'm going to communicate with you via private message. That's the only time I will ever PM anybody. So stay tuned to stay tuned. Other than that, we'll be back Wednesday at 4 o'clock. God bless everyone. One team, one fight.